que quem ganha coin. I'd like to appreciate all of you that came on time today. Thank you very much and God bless you. We came a little bit late. When we were coming on the road, it was heavy downpour. We thought it was also raining here. So our speed was reduced. So only for us to come here, and there was no single drop of rain. You people blow all the rain to my area. But thank God I'm here. We thank God. Psalm Division 103 is our test. As Chaplain told us yesterday, by 6 we are out. So those who come after 6, they will hold their own when we already at home. When we walk with time and close our time. Psalm 103. Somebody, are you there? Or should I wait for you? All right, it's already on this screen. Already for the King James Version. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all, how many benefits? All his benefits. And what are these benefits? Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, and he healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Will we stop there? Yesterday we started a journey. And we were looking at requirements, and we actually look at three of them. And tonight we said we are looking at efficacy, or call it effect. Well, efficacy has to do with a desire resultant effect of something. The power to produce a desired result. The power to produce a desired result or effect. I'd like us to know tonight that when we dwell under the secret place of the Most High, our tabernacling in that secret place produces some desired result for the one who dwells there and for those who are around him. In other words, if I dwell in the presence of God, there are benefits that I will enjoy. And it may also spot on those who are around me. So my dwelling in his presence is contagious. I will be able to conduct some blessings which will rub on those who are around me. But it is better to get the blessing than to look for peanuts that falls from the master's table. Is somebody understanding what I'm trying to say? It is better to be a blessing than to pray for a blessing. Now, when God called Abraham, he said, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. And through you, Genesis chapter 12, 1 to 3, and through you, all the whole world will be blessed. So, when we dwell in his presence, we receive immeasurable blessings. And all of these blessings make us channels of blessing to our generation. I'm trying to build something. So we are looking at efficacy of dwelling in God's presence. What is the power behind dwelling in his presence? If you have read the Psalms, scholars have said that there are three ways of studying the book of Psalms. Number one, it is either you study it by book division. Number two, by authorship. Number three, by subject matters. How many ways of studying the book of Psalms? What is number one? Book division. Number two, authorship. Number three, subject matters. Now, I am only going to tell you one and scratch the other two because of paucity of time. Let me deal with the book division, and then I will tell you the statistical record of the book of Psalm. Now, let's begin with the book division. According to scholars, the book of Psalm, the 150 chapters are divided into five sections, into five books. They call it book one, book two, book three, book four, book five. And these five books, they are named after the first five books of the Bible. Which are they? What is the first one? Genesis. The second one? Exodus. The third one? Leviticus. The fourth one? Numbers. The fifth one? So the first division of the book of Psalms, book one, it is called Genesis. Now, this Genesis is chapter 1 to chapter 41. Genesis. Chapter 1 to chapter 41. Book 2, Exodus, is chapter 42 to chapter 72. Book 3. What is book 3? What is book 3 now? Leviticus. It is from chapter 73 to chapter 89. Book 4, which is Numbers, is from chapter 90 to 106. Chapter 90 to 106. Book 5, Deuteronomy, is from chapter 107, 107 to 150. That's the book division. So, having known the book division, The passage we read today, where does it fall? Is it book 1, book 2, book 3, book 4, book 5? Where does it fall? Book 4? Eh? Book 4. Book 4? Book 4 is 1 or... What is book 4? 90 to 106. I thought somebody is not following me. Now, book 4. Now, by authorship, I'm going to scratch it. Now, who wrote the Psalms? Eh? Who wrote the Psalms? David. That's the popular saying of many people. Every Bible student knows that David only wrote 77 Psalms. How many? 77. Of the 150 Psalms, he wrote 77. Moses wrote one. You know Moses? He wrote one. Psalm 90. Etam, Elam, Hezekiah, all of these people, they wrote. And there are also anonymous Psalms. They don't know the writer. So everybody just say that the book of Psalms was written by David. Only 77. Out of 150, he wrote 77. Why did they attribute all of them to him? Now, I told you I'm going to scratch it. The third division. What do we call the third division? When you want to study it, by what? By subject matter. I say some people have forgotten. Now, if you read the Psalms, there are 27 didactic Psalms. 27 didactic Psalms. From didache, the Greek, teaching. There are 27 of them that falls into teaching. Psalm Division 1 is a didactic psalm. So when you read the psalm, you see some they are teaching. There are 22 hallelujah psalms. There are 6 imprecatory psalms. You know what is imprecatory? Psalm that releases curses on people. Imprecatory psalm. There are 6 of them. Can you name one of them? Psalm 35. Where you won't pray for the wicked. You look for the imprecatory psalms. Contend, O Lord, with those who are contending with me. Fight against those who are fighting against me. You know, those when they love their enemy, they don't pray that kind of prayer. Say, let my enemy die. No, 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 no. They don't pray imprecatory psalm at all. You know, Solomon requested, no, God visited Solomon. When God visited him that night, after the thanksgiving, he offered thousands of animals. God gave him a black shirt. What do you want me to do for you? What did he request for? Give me wisdom and understanding, knowledge to govern your people. And God said something. After he said that, he said, you did not ask of money, of wealth. You didn't ask of the life of your enemies. You ask for wisdom. He said, I'm going to give you all. Why did Solomon ask for wisdom and understanding? If God gave you a blank check, is it wisdom and understanding you will ask for? What is the number one thing you will ask for? Ladies and gentlemen, And then the first thing people will ask for is money. I need cash. You know why Solomon did not ask for money? It's not because he doesn't need money. His father left a huge amount of money for him before he died. Even the money he was going to use to build the temple, David bought everything. All the instruments, all the material, he bought them. And clearly he wanted to build. But God said, no, it is your son. A king should not be asking of money. He has a lot of wealth, so he didn't pray for money. And God said, you did not ask of the life of your enemies. You didn't pray that your enemy should die. The guy did not have any enemy at all. You know why? David fought all the battle and he conquered all the enemy. Read the life of Solomon. All through his period of reign, he did not fight one battle. And that was one thing God said, that David should not build the temple because he has fought so many battles and his hands are stained with blood. So why will Solomon ask, say, God, kill my enemy? No. He has no enemy to fight. But do you have enemies to fight today? Do we? Do we have enemies to fight? Listen, this is important. There are psalms that are imprecatory. There are psalms of adoration. There are psalms of praise and thanksgiving. The psalm we read, Psalm 103, is one of the 33 psalms of praises and thanksgiving. 33 of them we have in the Bible. Psalm 103 is one of them. Now, the book of Psalm is number 19 out of the 66 books of the Bible. It has 150 chapters. And if you look through the Psalms, a careful study of the Psalm, you will discover, as big as that book, there are 233 sins mentioned in the book of Psalms. 281 blessings mentioned in the book of Psalms. If you read through that book, you will see 97 promises. You will see prophecies that are immeasurable. But there is something that is important. We have more of praises, thanksgiving, and adoration in the psalm than any other subject. Now, I want to go back to my text. What does it mean to dwell in the presence of God? What is the power behind it? When the purpose of a thing is not known, someone said, abuse is inevitable. If you don't know the power and the purpose of dwelling in God's presence, you won't cherish the art of dwelling in his presence. Now hear me. If the governor of Delta State invites you to come, I want to have a breakfast or dinner or lunch with you, do you think we'll be happy to go? If the governor invites you, I'm going to have lunch with you. You think we'll be happy to go? Why? It's the governor of the state. But if I invite you, say, come, let's have lunch or dinner. Are you going to be happy to go there? What is he eating in his house that I've not eaten before? Now, if the president invites you to come for a dinner, I remember when good Lord Jonathan was the president, he invited us for a dinner. And I traveled to Abuja. When we got to that dinner table, only the hall alone, you will think you are in heaven. When you see the aroma of food, you won't be able to eat. That was when I knew that big people, they don't eat much. Little things. It's poor people that eat much. Poor, that poverty. Poor man will eat 5 wraps of akpu. He's saying Belen never big. Are you working yourself? But big people, just little things they eat and they are going. But very delicious and with protein. A woman came to me one day when the doctor advised her. Said, please eat good food so that you can look healthy. He said, Pastor, tell me, am I not eating good food? I said, what are you eating? He said, in the morning, yes, I will drink tea with bread. I said, that's good. In the afternoon, I will eat yam and stew. I said, that's good. In the evening, I will eat eba. All of them, they are starch. Carbohydrate. Listen, if you don't know the purpose, the power that is behind dwelling in his presence, you won't appreciate going to his presence. That's why when children come to church, they don't know the purpose. They jump up and down, they play. That's why we create teenage churches or children's service. Because they don't know why they are here. An adult who don't know, they come to the church house and they sleep. It is not the pastor's preaching that drives you into sleep. It's because you don't know the power that is in his presence. Each time we come here, we are not coming here to meet with choir. We are not coming here to meet with the pastor. We are coming here to dwell in his presence. Until you know this, until you recognize this, that I'm not just going to the chapel today to pray. I'm not going there to sing. I'm not going there to worship. I am going there to dwell in his presence. If this one does not ring in your heart, if this is not your priority, you will miss the whole blessings that you've came for. So every service that I attend, my focus is God. Every service that you attend, your focus will be who? God. I am coming to dwell in his presence. Every offering you give, who are you giving it to? To God. If you don't know this, you give any high offering. And that's why, if you ask our finance department, I don't know whether it's happening here, there are some currencies that you can't carry to the bank, you can't use them to buy anything, they are still there in the finance room. I don't know, maybe it's not happening here. 5 naira, 10 naira that are torn. They have accident. They bandage them. That's what people drop in offering. You give it to your child, he will not accept it. You know why? You have not been in his presence. You don't know him. When you know him, you know what you will give to him. Our giving springs out of the power of how long we have dwelt in his presence. Now, I want to show you some things from the passage we've read. What is the efficacy of dwelling in God's presence? Number one. From that passage we read, can you project it median? Verse 3. Let's look at it together. Verse 3. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? Number one, when we dwell in God's presence, the power, what we receive, it is, I call it divine forgiveness. Divine forgiveness. Now, when you look at that verse, who forgiveth all thy iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Forgiveness is therapeutic. I'll say it again. Forgiveness is what? Therapeutic. Forgiveness has the power to heal the body, the spirit, and the soul. According to philosophers and theologians that believe in the tripartite nature of man. There are some scholars and philosophers that believe in just the body and the spirit. But whether it is two nature or three nature, when there is forgiveness, it goes down into your body, into your spirit, and into your soul. And that's why sometimes Jesus says, rise up, your sins are forgiven. So there are sicknesses that are caused by sin. There are problems that are caused by sin. So when we receive divine forgiveness, our sins will go. Our sicknesses will go. Our problems will go. It's just because we have dwelt in his presence. So if you want to wipe away your sins, wipe away your sicknesses, all your trouble, what do you need to do? Go down and dwell in his presence. That's where you have forgiveness. Number two. But just before I jump into number two, if you don't forgive others what they ought against you, he will not forgive you. Do you know we can be in the same church and we're having grudges against one another? Is it possible? Do you know we attend the same fellowship but we don't greet each other? We don't greet one another. I was in the church and people were coming out to give offering. As we queue up yesterday, we are coming to the front. So one woman was about coming out of the pew. She mistakenly stepped on the toe of another woman. And he just said, sorry. As he was going, the other woman drew her back. Come here. You just match me. You didn't work. They go, what did they do you? I will match you back. Where is forgiveness? Now, we read something when I was in the seminary, and the author said, scratch a Christian and you will see a devil. Did you agree with that? You agree with that? Do you agree with that statement? Scratch a Christian and you will see a devil. As gentle as this guy is, let one small young guy come here. But the one looking for my trouble. Paul! Very dirty slap. And the brother will say, God bless you. And they give me another one. Paul! Lord Jesus, have mercy on him. God bless you. And they give me another one. Paul! Oh, I love this. I'm suffering for Jesus Christ. Lord, have mercy on him. How many brothers will be able to do that? Scratch a Christian. The moment you give him one slap, well, with his human feeling, now only one slap, I forgive you. But you raise a second one and a third. We go fight today. You didn't say you go feel beat me. Scratch a Christian, and you will see that he has no forgiveness. Am I talking to somebody? Help me ask someone. Do you have the spirit of forgiveness? I want to run. I have 6 more minutes to go, and I'll be through. 6 more minutes. Watch this. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities and healeth all thy diseases? But let's go to verse 4. Verse 4. Watch this. Verse 4. Who redeemed thy life from destruction? Who redeemed thy life from where? What is the power of dwelling in his presence? We receive what I call divine redemption. Every redemption is salvific and soterialistic. Every redemption is salvific and soterialistic. It has the power to save, and it has the power to impart salvation. When you are redeemed, the word redemption in the Hebrew and in the Greek has the power to save and to offer salvation. That's what I mean by salvific and soterialistic. Soterialistic is from the Greek word soteria, and soteria means salvation. Soteriology is the theology of salvation. Are you still with me? So when you are redeemed, every redemption, it saves your life and it gives you life. So you have salvation and you are saved. Now, salvation is in threefold. Salvation in the past saves you from the penalty of sin. Salvation in the present saves you from the power of sin. But salvation in the future, when we are already in heaven, it saves you from the presence of sin. Are you still with me? Can I explain this to you? Now, because of your faith in Christ, in John chapter 5, 24, 25, he said, those who believe in me, they have passed from death to where? To life. So the penalty of sin, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And he said, for the wages of sin is what? Is death. So when you have salvation, you are delivered from that death. That's what we call the penalty of sin. Death, you are delivered. The power of sin. Bible says, sin has no longer power over your mortal bodies. In Romans chapter 6, 11, 12, 13. Say, Lord, sin, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. To make you obey their passion. They don't have power over you. So in this present life, your salvation gives you power over sin. So you can see sin and jump it and say, I will not touch this. But you are not still free from sin. Is there any sinner in our midst here? Any sinner here? Is there anybody who does not commit sin at all? I know they commit sin. Is there anybody here? Huh? Prof, no sin, I don't go far. As long as you carry flesh and blood, you cannot be free from sin. That's why I said salvation in the future. When we are dead and we are saved, he saved us from the presence. There is no sin in heaven. It's only in this world that we see sin. Are you still with me? I have 3 more minutes to go. And I still have about 2 or 3 things to share with us. He redeemed your life. When you dwell in his presence, God brings you out. He saves your soul. His grace imparts salvation upon your life. Can you see why you need to dwell in his presence? That's where your security is. That's where your salvation is. And number 3. Now look at that verse. See in verse 4 of that our text, Psalm 103, verse 4. Now, who redeemed thy life from destruction? And what happened? And crowned thee with loving kindness. But I want you to go to verse 5. There's something I want to show you, verse 5, before I come back. Verse 5. Who satisfied thy mouth with what? With good things. Can I pray for you? From now to the end of the year, may God satisfy your life with good things. If I'm praying for you, your amen will be the loudest in the house. May God satisfy your life with good things. When we dwell in his presence, we receive number 3 now? We receive divine satisfaction. I want to close now. Divine satisfaction. Who satisfied that mouth with good things? There are things you think that will satisfy you. They don't give you satisfaction. Many things in this world, they don't give us satisfaction. Ask the men who have one wife, whether they are satisfied with that one wife. They will tell you yes, but they know within themselves they are not satisfied. There's what I call ugobomonistic philosophy. What do I call it? Ugobomonistic philosophy. Now, it's a combination of Urobo and English. Ugobomu, say touch and play. When you touch, I know they remove your hand. The Christian marriage is ugobomu. Once you marry, no divorce. If your wife is a wish, you stay with that wish forever. If your husband is a drunkard, is beating you every day, you stay with that beating forever. I call it ugobomonistic philosophy. And then, there is something I saw in the life of the women. They are married. The husband is bad, but they cannot live. They have children there. So, I call this philemocentric ideology. What do I call it? Philemocentric ideology. Because of the children, I'm not going to come out. They are suffering there, but because of the children. Yeah, they suffer. The husband is suffering. You go now. He said, no, I won't stay with my children. Philemocentric ideology. It is not because you are enjoying the place. That's why when I see young people, I want to marry. I say, look well, oh. That place you are going is slippery. Those who are already there, they are complaining, say they want to leave, but they cannot leave. You are just jumping up at that. Be careful. He satisfies that man with good things. Even though there are bitter things, you are still there. But, ladies and gentlemen, between now and the end of the year, may God satisfy your life with good things. I'll go back to verse 4 and I close. Where's the verse 4? Media, project it. Who redeemed thy life from destruction? Who granted thee with loving kindness? He crowned. I call it divine crowning. When you dwell in his presence, you receive divine crown. He crowned thy life with loving kindness and tender mercy. And that's why the scripture says, it is by his mercy that we are not consumed. Bros, you are alive today by his mercy. All of us are seated here by his mercy. It's not because our hands are free. Am I talking to somebody? It is not because you are holy. It is not because you are praying so much. There are men who are deliverance ministers, who are prayer warriors. They died. The same road you are passing, they died. They are no more. When I heard of Maurice Cerullo, died. Miles Muro, all of these great, great men, I see them dying. I wonder, with all the anointing, they are still dying. And you will see now you are still there. I think it's his mercy. Come on, clap for the mercies of God. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet as we close. What do we enjoy? What is the power of dwelling in his presence? Number one, we receive divine what? Divine what? Forgiveness. Number two, what do we receive? Divine redemption. Number three, what do we receive? Number four, what do we receive? Divine crown. So in one word, what do we receive? What do you think? So what do you call that? What is the meaning of FROSA? Federal Road Safety Come. That's what you receive. It's not just state owned. You receive federal coverage. But this time around, it's more than federal. You receive heavenly coverage. Lift up your two hands towards heaven. Father, as I dwell in your presence, let me receive power. Let me receive power. Can you pray that prayer from the bottom of your heart? Release your power. Release your power. Release your power. As I dwell in your presence, release your power. Release your power. Release your power. Release your power. And pray, Lord, release your mercy. Your mercy. Put those hands upon your head. Can I pray for you from this altar? As I kneel before this altar, as your hands are upon your head, I pray for you. May the mercies of God be available for you. For the remaining days of this year, you will move from mercy to mercy. The favor of God will be available for your life. The grace of God will be multiplied in your life. As many that are not saved, as many that are still wallowing in sin, as long as you dwell in his presence, may the yoke of sin be broken from your life. May the yoke of sicknesses be broken from your life. May the yoke of pain be broken from your life. In any way we have sinned against you, our Father, I stand before this throne as I kneel to intercede for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every child. In any way we have offended you, Lord, have mercy and forgive us in the name of Jesus. The grace to forgive those who have offended us, release that grace upon us in the name of Jesus. And you have told us that you will satisfy us with good things. Whatever good thing you are looking for, whatever good thing your children are looking for, whatever good thing you are looking for in that school, whatever good thing you are looking for in the life of your children, if your amen can roll out to heaven, may God satisfy you with that good thing. May God release good things into your life. Thank you, our Father. Above all, my Father, we sing this song. Into my heart. Into my heart. Come in. Come in. We cannot do anything without you. Lord Jesus. Come into the Lord. Come in. Today, come in to stay. Come in. Dear Lord, come in to my heart. Lord Jesus. This is our desire in this service. The Lord above all things, give us your salvation. Come into our life and help us to dwell in your presence all the days of our life. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Can I hear a thunderous amen in the house?